Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. Let's begin a brand new week of study, shall we? Reading the Word. You can find this program again if you want to study it again at your own convenience or share it with someone that you love. Online, anytime at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program, and then this is program 110. As we take our New Testaments, I want us to look at one of the Pauline epistles, if you will, that being one authored by Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul authored at least half of the New Testament. We can identify 13 of the 27 books, and that just leaves with us the book of Hebrews. We don't know who exactly wrote that, if Paul wrote it, or if Luke, or if it's a sermon, which I kind of think it is, a sermon that Paul preached, or at least might be. But we see with the book of Ephesians, Paul had a special relationship with the church at Ephesus. In Ephesus was the Temple of Diana, or Artemis, as she was also called, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Also, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, for instance, another seven wonder of the world. The Great Pyramid in Gaza, for instance, another one of the seven wonders. One of them was this temple to the goddess of Diana. And this was a place where they would come and worship, a beautiful temple, akin to the Parthenon there in Nashville, if you've been and seen that one. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, on Paul's second missionary journey, Paul journeys into the city of Ephesus. In fact, the letter to the Ephesians, which is where we're going to spend the bulk of our time allotted to us today, dear friends, may be one of the most personal letters that Paul wrote. Now, when he writes the Corinthians, he was there 18 months. He spent a considerable time in Philippi. In fact, he was thrown in prison in Philippi in Acts 16. He knew the Thessalonican brethren. Now, he did not know the brethren at Rome on a personal level. He hadn't been to Rome when he wrote the book of Romans. He'd go there after it was written. But we see when Paul writes Ephesians, he was there. Now, to set the scene of at least Acts chapter 19, there's a group of people who were baptized, but they were not baptized for the right reason, so they must be immersed into Christ. We also see a great uproar. Paul is speaking to them, and they're chanting out for the space of hours, "Great is Diana," the Ephesians, and Paul kind of has to get out of Dodge, if you will. Paul loved the Ephesian elders so much that in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, he calls for them to meet him, not in Ephesus because he's journeying, but along his way. And it's a very emotional meeting where he commends them for guiding the church, which Christ purchased with his own blood, the elders there being the overseers of it. A very emotion-filled meeting, Paul knowing he's probably never going to see these fine brothers again, but he had to impart with them some wisdom. Years later, Paul writes the book to the Ephesians, and I want us to spend the rest of our time in that today with a lesson, walking in Ephesus. Walking in Ephesus. And as we look at this, I really want to key in on that word, walk. You know, the Old Testament prophet Amos said in Amos 3:3, "How can two walk together unless they agree?" We must, you know, if you and I are walking in the same place, we both need to head in the right direction. If not, I'll head left, you'll head right. We'll never make it to our destination, at least not together. We talk about walking in the Bible. The walking we're talking about today is not physical walking. It is not taking your left foot and raising it above your right foot, putting it firmly on the ground, then taking your right foot and placing it above or in front of your left foot in a repeated motion. Never 2 feet off the ground at the same time or it becomes a jump, not too fast or it becomes a jog. No, I'm talking about the way that we live our lives. In fact, the Christian walk, as we often call it, is talking about the way that we live our lives. I want us to look at the book of Ephesians now. There are seven different ways that we can walk, according to Paul, in the book of Ephesians. Seven ways to walk in Ephesians. I want you to key in chapter 4 and verse 1 with number 1. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Ephesians 4. Paul speaking, he says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Number one way to walk, dear friends, we walk worthy. You know, Jesus Christ paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Jesus Christ paid the debt for me. Because of that, I am redeemed by blood divine. Therefore, I should walk worthy. As a Christian, I should live up to the honor that it is to be a Christian. He says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Go over to chapter 5 as we move on in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, the second way that we are to walk, we are to walk as children of light. Notice this. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See, notice there's a great contrast going back to verse 1. Talks about being dear children. End of verse 6, he says the vengeance basically comes upon, the vengeance of God comes upon the children of disobedience. He says you used to walk in that darkness, but now you're children of light. Now you've been called out of that darkness to live life anew. So quit walking in the ways of this old dark world, dear friends. Number three way to walk in the book of Ephesians is found in Ephesians 2, in verse number 2. Ephesians 2, in verse number 2, he says, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world or this culture, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. He says, you used to walk in the course of the world, don't walk that way anymore. You used to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, behave like the world, but you don't anymore, so quit trying to go back to your old ways. We as Christians are supposed to be peculiar, different, and set apart. We need to not walk in the ways of the world. We do need to pause our program here, though, momentarily. Hope you'll join us on the other side of this break and continue walking in Ephesus, looking at those seven ways the word walk is used in Ephesians here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Well, thank you, Brother Dearman, and glad to have you back with us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed, and if you're just now joining us, we're talking about walking in Ephesus, the seven ways the word walk is used in the book of Ephesians. You can find the first half of this program, actually the entirety of it, online anytime at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio programs. This is number 110. It's sorted by air dates, by the way. We've looked at we are to walk worthy, Ephesians 4:1, walk as children of light, 5:8, and don't walk according to the course of the world, which you formerly did, Ephesians 2:2. Let's pick back up in Ephesians 4 in verse number 17. Ephesians 4:17. How are we to walk? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that henceforth you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Don't walk the way of the Gentiles, of the heathen, of the world, as the way he's using it there. Once again, kind of what he's been mentioning, but he brings that thought to their mind again. God has always stressed an emphasis, dear friends, on not acting like the world around you. See, we as Christians have to live on earth, but we don't have to live an earthly life. We have to live on the in the world, but not a worldly life. Jesus commanded his disciples to be different, distinct, set apart. We no less, dear friends. We must be different. So we can't walk the way that the Gentiles walk. Look here in Ephesians 5 and verse 15, if you will, for reason number 5, or way number 5, I should say, is we're walking in Ephesus. Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly. What do you mean? Not as the foolish do. Know where you're walking. Carefully calculate each step ahead of you. Don't just flail your arms around, but keep them in subjection. Know where you're going, and know how to reach your destination. See, it's one thing if I know that I'm going to go to the beach for a vacation, and it's another thing to know how to get there. It's one thing to want to go to the Smokies. It's another to know which roads, which exits, and when I need to leave. We need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but be wise. How do we be wise? Well, not in the ways of the world, dear friend, but in the ways of God. Number 6, as we continue walking in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained or appointed that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Them, referring back to the good works that are created into Christ Jesus. We need to walk in good works. What does that mean? That means to live the life of a Christian, to do thus saith the Lord in everything that we do. He tells those in Colossae chapter 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We must walk in good works if we want to be pleasing unto God, because he's going to judge us how we live our lives, whether we do things God's way or the world's way. So we need to walk in good works. But we close out walking in Ephesus number 7. We walk in love. Notice Ephesians 5 and verse number 2. And walk in love, as Christ also had loved us, given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I like that thought of a sweet-smelling savor. That's anthropomorphism. God actually can't smell the sacrifices that were made unto him, but in essence he can. And Jesus Christ was offered up as a sweet-smelling savor. That means that the sacrifice of Jesus was acceptable to God. How are we to walk? Walk in love. What's our motivation? What's our example? As Christ has loved us and became obedient, offering himself. That means when I walk in love, I love like Jesus loved, and I obey like Jesus obeyed, and I'm willing to submit just like he submitted to the ultimate will of the Father. Coming down, leaving heaven, Paul tells those in Philippi in Ephesians 2, 5 and following, he literally emptied himself of heaven, took on the form of man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I must walk in love. That means I love you, and hopefully you love me, and together we have each other's best interests at heart. We look at the way the word walk is used in the Ephesian letter, dear friends, and we are to walk in love. We are to walk in good works. We are to walk circumspectly. That's being wise, not being foolish. We are not to walk as the Gentiles walked. We're not supposed to walk after the course of the world, although at one point we once did. We're to walk as children of light, and we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Dear friends, are you walking after the way of the world, or are you walking after God? Well, don't walk after the ways of the world. Maybe you're not a Christian yet. Maybe you haven't heard, believed, repented, confessed, been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Love to sit and study with you. You can contact online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Contact me. Love to chat with you or put you in contact with someone that would be that could sit with you and talk. But we can't be walking like the world, dear friends. As a Christian, are you walking worthy of wearing the name of the slain Savior, that of Christ? If you're not walking worthy to the vocation wherewith you're called, I would strongly encourage you to do such and do it quickly, dear friends. It seems like we just started, but I've enjoyed the brief time that's been allotted to us today. Appreciate you tuning us in. Hope you can come worship with us anytime the opportunity affords itself to you here at the Arlington Church of Christ, where you would always be our welcomed and our honored guest. Once again, if you want to hear this program again or any of the 109 that preceded it, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. We appreciate you tuning us in. We'll do it, the Lord willing, same time next week. So mark your calendars and join us there. We appreciate you listening. May the good Lord bless you and may he keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.